You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Dave DiNatale in for Jason Gibbs today. And we're going to go back to the phone lines here. It is also Mailbag Wednesday. Get your questions in. Use the hashtag AskCBD. I know we've gotten a couple good ones out there. One from our good friend Pumpkinhead. So we'll get to those later on. 216-578-0850. Let's go to John in Streetsboro.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. And you?
Good, good. I want to hit on something here and get your opinion. I think the RG3 thing is a must, okay?
Okay.
But as far as that second pick goes, I think they would be making a huge mistake if they don't take Bosa. I think they got to go with the RG3 thing. You got to get Bosa because he is such a spark on the defense. I think what I'm visualizing is when they make, not this particular organization, but the organization, when they made the mistake of not taking Clay Matthews Jr. with how he would have been here, how he would have sparked this defense, with his father's foundation here. I think if they don't take Bosa, it's the same type of scenario. I think a defense could rally around this guy. He's a freak coming off the ball, the things that he does. You got to have him. I really think the RG3 thing, the RG3 thing in place is wonderful, and you take Bosa. You have to take Bosa, and I think them quarterbacks are going to be around for the later rounds to pick up. I just want to know what you guys think about that.
Sure, John, keep him on the line. John, can you explain to me what do you envision Joey Bosa doing in Ray Horton's defense? Where do you envision him playing?
In Ray Horton's defense, he's got to have his hand down somewhere. He's got to have his hand down somewhere in the Ray Horton defense. I think just his aggressiveness. I mean, I think he could learn. I think he could pick up the Ray Horton defense with his aggressiveness and the way he can handle an O-lineman. I mean, I don't see anything wrong or any adjustment that he can't make.
And okay, if in fact Joey Bosa, with his hand on the ground, goes for 8 to 11 sacks and, I'll say double-digit hurries, knockdowns, all those great things, how many wins do you think that equates to for the Cleveland Browns in at least in year one? And say he does that his first 3 years.
I'm not even looking at his ability giving us wins. I'm just looking at his contribution to the whole defensive scheme. An athlete like that, a player like that, I'm not looking at, yeah, this kid's going to win us games. I'm thinking the addition of that guy on Horton's defense, because I'm very confident in a Ray Horton defense with whoever he brings in at backer.
My issue with Joey Bosa in coming to the Browns, if the Browns had brought in a 4-3 defensive coordinator, I'd be much more excited about Joey Bosa coming to the Browns. I still think you need to get your franchise quarterback, and that will never change from my philosophy, but I just think as a 3-4 outside linebacker, which is what he'd have to play here, he's either going to have to drop weight to become a 3-4 outside backer, or he's going to have to add a lot of weight to try to become a 5 technique in the 3-4. And I just don't see that with him. He's not J.J. Watt. He's not built like J.J. Watt. He's physically different than J.J.
Watt. He's not as explosive
as J.J.
Watt.
He would be a great 4-3 DN, and if the Browns were playing a 4-3, I think he'd make a lot more sense for this football team.
I agree. I mean, and again, he's a dynamic player, and I think 2 years from now, 2 years in the National Football League, regardless of where he is, Joey Bosa is going to be a double-digit sack guy and a disruptor the same way we know him at Ohio State. I do believe that. And I think I'm just not ready at number two to take that player as I am in the mode that this franchise is in right now. I'm not.
So a lot of the player comparisons I've seen for him, we've seen Jared Allen in a high end, and I've also seen a lot of Ryan Kerrigan as being a potential player comparison for Joey Bosa. All right, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Reggie in Youngstown. What's up, Reg?
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good, man.
Good, good. Hey, listen, fellas, I was just wanted to say, I know we talked a little bit yesterday about the quarterbacks, and I just wanted to bring up again, guys, I like what you're saying, but I still disagree with you. And I was kind of glad to hear the one gentleman that called in that felt the same way I do as far as the quarterbacks go, you know, by keeping both quarterbacks, if they can hold on to them, I don't think it would be a problem. But I also wanted to say about a couple days ago, I think it was, you guys were speaking on Thomas and Hayden, I see a little bit today. And for myself, guys, may not think is right, but I think that they should let both of them guys go, man, because Hayden stays hurt a lot. I think his career is going to be hurt a lot because of the fact that he's starting to take on a lot of injuries and stuff now. I just don't think he's going to be the Hayden no more that we've been used to seeing. You know, it's kind of showing it. And Thomas, well, you guys know how I feel about Thomas in general. I just think he's a little bit past his time. I like what you all did say about maybe he might stay. They may try to do something with him maybe in the middle of the season. But however it goes, I just would like to see them guys, you know, get on up out of there, you know, and us go with these younger players that you guys have been mentioning. So I'm going to get off and let you guys speak on it and see how you all feel about it. Thanks, guys.
The salary, you're not going to be able to trade Joe Hayden. There's just too much dead money in there. If you trade him, he's on the huge contract. You cannot. You're not trading Joe Hayden. Now, you could trade Joe Thomas. As I said, the best time for the Browns and the best time for Joe Thomas is likely to come in the middle of the season when a team knows it's in its Super Bowl window. It's not a preseason Super Bowl window. It's a viable Super Bowl window. They need a left tackle. They make the call for Joe Thomas. The Browns pick up a late first-round pick in 2017. That's when the Joe Thomas thing is going to happen, if it does happen.
And wouldn't you necessarily think that the uncertainty surrounding Joe Hayden after a questionable start to 2014, a full-on questionable 2015, and now an injury entering 2016 would make it very difficult for a team, for A, us to release him, okay?
Yeah, we can't. It's
right,
impossible.
That's my point. Okay, we can't. But B, for a team to give us the asset to replace the type of player that Joe Hayden could, a healthy Joe Hayden could be for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it's just not happening. Not happening. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We'll also dip into the mailbag a little bit as well. Use the hashtag AskCBD and tweet me at Nathan Zagura, at MattWilhelm35, at Browns_daily, and we'll get to those here as hour number two of CBD continues.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. We'll go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. And we're going to start things off by going back to the phone lines and talking to Phil in Brecksville. Phil, welcome.
Nathan, Matt, good to hear. Good to talk to you guys.
You too, Matt. You as well.
Look, I can't be sure of this, but I can tell you that between you two guys, about the beginning of last year, probably the mid-quarter, I noticed a change in how you guys talked about the Browns. And I think what happened is, and I think that you guys went in or someone said, look, you've got to tell exactly what you think. And if you don't think it's right, even though you work in the Browns bowl, you're going to say what you need. And from that point on, I think between you, Nathan, that is inquiring, and Matt, you, that gives us a view as a player that not a lot of players can do. I think back to when you were talking about one of the players that was cashing it in and was worried about getting their rig down to a summer home before the last game. So all that being said, you know, I trust you guys. Let me ask you this. I would take, you know, I just get tired of all this talk about Bosa. And look, I would sign RG3. I would take a quarterback in Goff in the second round. I would take a flyer in the fifth or sixth round. Look, Cincinnati got a quarterback in the seventh round that won them, could have won them a playoff game. We need quarterbacks.
Yep.
The question I have for you guys is, as far as scouting, when did the old scouts get in, get out? When did the new scouts get in? And, guys, what do you see differently about how things are moving on the scouting side?
So when you look at the scouting department, because of when the change was made, a lot of the guys who were the scouts under the last regime, they stay in place. If there are going to be changes to the actual scouting departments, that'll come this summer. But in terms of how things are done differently, it's clearly you're seeing the how they approach free agency. things will be done differently. Other things will be incorporated. Ken Kovash, who ran the analytics department, is given a much bigger voice. Obviously, Dee Podesta is here. Sashi is here. So the types of decisions that will be made will be different. Ultimately, and I know people may think that this is crazy, but I think that the Browns do have a pretty good scouting department. It's very robust. I think there's some talent evaluators in there. Dan Sagany, Chisholm Opara, Bobby Vega, to name a few, plus some guys who have been around. Bobby D, who has a Super Bowl ring with the Chicago Bears. Mike Hagan. There are a lot of guys who have been here and who have certain Ron Hill, who have been involved with the league for a long time. So I don't think our scouting was necessarily our failure. I think there were times that the board was not adhered to. I think there was too much of a coaching influence on it. I think that you won't see that. I think that these scouts, there's a good opportunity for a lot of them to ultimately end up being successful and staying here. I think you'll see some new people come in. Andrew Berry will bring some of his people with him. But I think for the most part, you're going to see a pretty similar – I think you'll see some of the core stay together here.
Is he gone? Okay.
All right, let's go to Harold in Akron now. Harold.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
How's it going?
Good,
and
you?
Pretty good. Hey, you know what? Tell me what you think about this, and tell me if you think they might try it. With the analytics and all, it seems to me that if they sign RG3, that's kind of telling me that they think that the top three or four quarterbacks are pretty much all the same. Having said that,
I think it's happening in isolation. It would
okay,
not tell
okay,
me.
Hold on, but, okay, hold on. But hear me out. Give me a
yeah,
moment.
Go ahead.
With all that, then I'm thinking maybe that they might try to trade down, still get a quarterback. I think they like Paxton Lynch, and trade down, and then get a receiver, either Dotson or Treadwell, and then come back at 32 and get a quarterback. Because I think that they think maybe that those top four quarterbacks are all about the same, because if they weren't, I'd be getting that quarterback at two and having them start this year, but it doesn't seem like that's the case. It seems like they're okay with starting a free agent of the caliber of RG3, which is, you know, top caliber, you know, to a degree, and come back at 32 and get a quarterback and get you a receiver by trading down. Just tell me what you think about that. Guys, have a good evening.
And again, that's a good theory, and I don't necessarily agree with that. The one thing that I believe has been stated, and it's not facted because it hasn't happened, but that Hugh Jackson will not attend Paxton Lynch's pro day.
Because of when it is.
Because of when it is. What, April 6th, which would be the third day into workouts here in Cleveland. Now, that all being said, if he was in play the same way that Pep Hamilton and Hugh Jackson took the bull by the horns at Jared Goff's pro day with the squirting of the football and Hugh being, you know, walking all the way right up, you know, to the quarterback center exchange area of his pro day to make sure that what they wanted happened exactly the way they wanted it to, I would imagine that Hugh Jackson would want to be there with the future franchise quarterback of his organization. That's just me. That means seeing out your morning groups, flying to where you need to be, however you need to get there, to be there in person.
Absolutely. And by the way, I think that it'll say a lot. You know, the timing of it for Paxton Lynch, probably not the best. And maybe his school wants to work on that. But I think I'm going to agree with the comment that just came in on Twitter. The RG3 signing has more to do with what they feel about McCown than what they think of the draftable quarterbacks. And
agreed.
I agree with that. I think that is much more where it is. And by the way, they think that maybe they can get something out of RG3 in the long run.
Yeah, and I think to me,
why not?
The very, very apparent thing is 36 versus 26.
Yeah.
Which is the age of the two quarterbacks.
Yep.
Okay. Both have starting experience. In some cases, RG3's probably won almost as many games as Josh McCown has in the National Football League. Okay? Right? In minimal experience in the NFL. And I think the way we go about business, this is exactly what we've said all along. Who are we looking for in unrestricted free agency? Someone, you know, post-first contract, you know, that hasn't yet hit their peak,
right,
that can hit their peak in a Browns uniform
with us, right? And I think that's exactly why it's appealing. And don't forget, if RG3 doesn't play well, he's not going to be here in 2 years. And you would have whoever the quarterback that you drafted certainly would be here and have the opportunity to take over, or maybe it already won the job. I just don't think it is in any way, shape, or form they are linked. I think it has much more to do with taking a swing on a guy that everybody in the NFL agreed was immensely talented and has an opportunity to be a franchise quarterback. Mike and Willard, welcome.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, hello?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. First of all, I'd like to say I agree with the thought of taking RG3 right now. It's low risk, and you know he's going to have a chip on his shoulder to prove that he can play in the NFL, as you guys have made that comment. I do think with that number one pick, then we have many needs. I know that for the Browns, but I think one of the sure picks possibly in the draft, or I know there's no given, but could be Ramsey of Florida State, which could play corner or safety, which we've got a hole in both of those areas. What do you guys think of that?
Ramsey Bosa. I know Daniel Jeremiah has the Cleveland Browns taking Jalen Ramsey, number two overall.
Charles Davis just did one that has him taking Laremy Tunsil, number two overall.
And who goes first?
Ramsey.
Ramsey to the Titans.
Yeah.
Okay, and us taking Laremy Tunsil. And Goff falling to the Niners at seven. And I'm referencing Daniel Jeremiah.
Sure.
And ironically, and this is where, as you said, the media hype centered around Carson Wentz and what they've created. No one taking Carson Wentz, even in the top 10.
In the Jeremiah one.
In the Jeremiah draft. Yes.
Interesting.
So many people have, Goff Wentz so close, cutting hairs on upside and projection and who's ready to play now and who's not. And yet, someone whose job is to be an analyst draft specifically doesn't have Wentz even in his top 10.
Yeah, he's got him going 11th at the Chicago Bears there. I mean, pretty much the consensus is that the 49ers, everybody believes, will take a quarterback. The majority believe that quarterback would be Jared Goff. And Charles Davis one just released today. He's got Ramsey 1, Tunsil 2, Bosa 4 to Dallas, where I think he's a fantastic fit. And then they've also got Carson Wentz 7 to the Niners, Goff 8 to the Eagles, which certainly would be interesting. I think on draft day, if the Browns don't take a quarterback at 2, I'd be bummed, but I think that a quarterback will free fall quite some ways after pick number 7, and I think that Goff would go to San Francisco if that ends up being the case. Let's go to Mark in Shaker Heights. Mark, welcome.
My question is going back to the scenario where we do pick a quarterback at number 2. What I'm wondering is with RG3, if he comes aboard, and let's suppose the Browns are going to invest 2 to 3 years in working with him, Would his skill set in any way affect whether we pick Goff or Wentz? Would the Browns be more inclined to try to pick a quarterback whose skill set matches RG3's a little more, given that you're going to try to develop both these people along the same path? So that's my question, and I'll just listen to your answer.
All right. RG3 is going to be able to do some things out of the pocket, but you're going to want him to do those things on design bootlegs or when plays break down. You can run design bootlegs without mobile quarterbacks. We've seen it all the time. Tom Brady does it. Roethlisberger does it. You can run those things. RG3 and Goff, to be successful in the NFL, will both have to be able to win from the pocket and win the same ways. I don't think you'd be running a different offense. The read option as the foundation of an offense in the NFL is dead. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Jay Gruden was saying in the quotes I said earlier. So thinking that you're bringing him in to have this like running offense, that's not going to be the case. RG3, if you're bringing him in, you're making him win from the pocket, and that's the only way that they will be able to be successful.
Yeah, I agree. I think the RG3, as he may be looking at other opportunities, has to maybe he's doing some research on his own to understand Hugh Jackson's system and if it fits him well, because he may have to give up some of what he's comfortable doing to conform to what Hugh Jackson wants to do to be successful in the NFL, and that's studying Andy Dalton and what he's done in Cincinnati over the past few years.
Exactly right. All right, when we come back, we'll go back to phone lines, 216-578-0850. And, of course, you can tweet us. Use the hashtag AskCBD. We'll bring in Dino to get some of the best tweets from the day, and we'll answer those here on Cleveland Browns Daily.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Zagura and Wilhelm with you here on ESPN 850. Half hour to go. We're going to go back to the phones. We've got Billy in New York City. Billy, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the show. I absolutely love Thanks for taking my call. I love the show.
You got it, man.
I just had a quick thing about RG3. I've been telling my friends for months before he was even dropped, I wanted Cleveland to sign him. The guy is no risk, high reward potential. He's going to win as much as McCown will, and he could possibly be the franchise. But I agree, you still grab Goff. Goff is going to create competition that's only going to make RG3 better. Best case scenario, RG3 becomes your franchise. You got two guys, trade assets. That's what analytics is all about.
It's about getting assets. I agree with you. No, very little risk, high reward. And I also agree that you still go out there and you get Jared Goff. John and Warren.
Goff.
Thanks for taking a call, guys.
You got it, man.
All right, two things. First of all, I don't feel that RG3 is built. He's not a truck. You need a rugged, like you need a Roethlisberger type guy, a Flacco, Drew Brees, Brady. Those guys could take hits. RG3 has had three major injuries already in his career. Now, number two, the common denominator.
Drew Brees.
Pardon me?
Nothing. Go ahead.
And the common denominator here, as far as evaluating, to me, is Jay Gruden. When he was with Cincinnati, Jackson was the running back coach. Cincinnati passed the ball as good as anybody. Jackson took over. They continued that. Dalton looked good. A.J. McCarron, when they plugged him in, looked good. Gruden went to Washington. Cousins completed 74% of his passes. McCoy's the second string guy, and he couldn't wait to get rid of RG3. Now, why are we picking him up when Jackson was underneath Gruden? Well, he thinks he's better than the teacher. I wouldn't take RG3 for free.
Well, you and I would differ on that, and I like it. At least you're bringing a strong take. If Hugh Jackson thinks he can get the best out of RG3, I'm fine with it. Jay Gruden, by the way, said he certainly feels RG3 can be a starter and a successful starter in this league. Let's go to Cooley in Ravenna. Cooley.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You?
Good. Hey, I just heard your analysis of Jeremiah's mock draft. I just wanted to make a comment because I watched that religiously.
Sure.
Even though Jeremiah has Goff going to the Niners and Wentz dropping down, that's not his opinion. He, if you watch his show, has Wentz clearing away the number one quarterback. He just thinks that's the way it's going to play out.
It's similar, it's similar, but the opposite. Like Mel Kiper, for example, Dane Brugler, Matt Miller all think Goff is by far and away the best quarterback in this draft, but all had the Browns taking Carson Wentz. So similar things in the mock. It's not indicative of their actual rankings.
Correct, right. I just heard you guys saying he's a scout and he should know what's going on. And, that's not his opinion if you listen to him.
No, I know that. I think the point was being made is that he's a guy who's plugged in the scouting community and might be using feedback when he's making his mock from other people around the NFL.
Here's one more thing I got for you guys real quick, and then you let me know what you think about it. You know, I don't have a problem with upgrading the quarterback position with RG3 if they think he's going to come in here and upgrade the position.
Sure.
I just have a problem with the fact that I don't think that he's going to come in here wanting to mentor anybody.
He's not. I don't want him to come in here to mentor anybody. I want him to come in here to compete.
Well, I want him to come. I want him to compete too. And if he's a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback and that rookie never sees the field, that's one thing. But at the same time, you don't think that's going to cause problems if, in fact, they choose the rookie two or three games in? He's not going to get sour?
You know what? He handled it like a pro there, and if he's a guy who believes in himself, he'll believe that the cream will rise, as Hugh Jackson said. And this is the toughest position in all sports. If you can't handle a little competition, then you have no business being a quarterback anyway, in my opinion. So I'm fine with it. I think that these guys can compete. They'll both be learning to win from the pocket in the National Football League, something RG3 still has to work on. So I think that you could make a case that it actually is a good skill set for both RG3 and Goff to be learning similar things at the same time.
No, I agree. I really do. And I think spending time with Hugh Jackson, Pep Hamilton on a daily basis, Al Saunders, their experience combined in the National Football League will only serve
whoever quarterbacks the Cleveland Browns, and again, the younger, more sponge-like that these players are, and I think in RG3 at 26, I would hope doesn't think he has it figured out. So he's open-minded to learn, to extend his career, as Andrew Gribble said, maybe almost sort of his last chance to really make it as a starter in the National Football League, and whoever we potentially draft at 2 or in this year's draft to kind of to learn right along next to each other. The competition is organically going to be there because you play the same position. And I have no problem with that. And going back to even these conversations last year coming off of 7-9, accumulate talent, accumulate great players, accumulate competitors that want to win, and let the blood splatter everywhere and give me the 53 Warriors that go out and represent the orange and brown best.
Yes.
That's it.
That is it.
And let Hugh and Sashi and Andrew Berry and Jimmy Haslam and Dee Haslam make all those decisions and trust in them because they are us as much as we are them.
Yes, indeed. Let's go, Matt Wilhelm. Get fired up. Blood is splattered, folks. That's what he's saying. So, listen, and somebody just tweeted me the article from the Washington Post where Chris Cooley walks through RG3's inadequacies as a quarterback, not making the right reads, not executing the game plan. You are betting on developing him. You're betting that you can capitalize on his gifts. And by the way, there's no risk if you can't. You're still in the same quarterback position you are, and hopefully you draft the guy at number 2 and you have him. But if you can, there's something to get out of RG3.
There is, and I think what also to me makes Cleveland very attractive for a guy like RG3 or a guy like Colin Kaepernick is to know that, yes, this is a fresh start. And I think what a lot of young quarterbacks or quarterbacks throughout, you know, rough patches in their career, the reason why it happens is, and if you look at Cap, 3 different head coaches in a matter of 5 years. You're going to get Hugh Jackson for a minimum of 3 to 5 years to be able to work with whoever that is. If it's RG3 from 16 to 2020 or Jared Goff from 2016 to 2020, it's going to be Hugh Jackson at minimum. Hopefully Pep Hamilton, you know, continues to grow in his role here. And hopefully Al Saunders stays here and continues to grow so that nucleus stays the same and it's not turnover, 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 learning a new
change,
system,
change,
learning
change.
A new system. Exactly. That continuity is going to be here, and that's got to be attractive to RG3.
Absolutely. Again, more of the people on my Twitter are anti-RG3. Again, what is the risk? If you're the Browns, at a time when you think about the Rams are willing to give up so much, why wouldn't you take a shot on him and hope that Hugh Jackson can get better out of him than what you've seen and recapture the form? This guy was the NFL Rookie of the Year in the National Football League. He can't be the NFL Rookie of the Year in college. He did that in the NFL. So why wouldn't you take a shot? It's taking a swing at the plate. You're not investing a lot of money. You're not giving up draft picks. You're going ahead and getting a guy who's got immense physical gifts and seeing if you can harness him. If RG3 is never able to process and or win from the pocket, RG3 will never be a quarterback in this league again. If the Browns want to take an opportunity to find that out and still draft the quarterback of their future at number 2, then that's fine, because if he can do it, it's going to be, I think, a good thing for the Browns. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you take that? What's the risk where we are? This is a multi-year build. You're seeing, can this guy be a part of it? And if he's not, he's going to be gone, and you're going to have another quarterback or another swing at the plate. I just think that you're talking about immensely, immensely talented guy who has proven that he can be a premier player in the National Football League, and you're seeing if you can recapture that form. That's what it is. This isn't throwing something, as Larry Carter says, this is throwing crisp against the wall to see what will stick. That's not what they're doing at all. They have an absolute plan. This is taking a flyer on a guy who has proven that at one point he was successful in the NFL. And if he can't win the way Hugh Jackson needs him to win,
he's out.
He's going to be out.
For very little investment.
Right. And that's why I don't see anything wrong with going forward with RG3, as long as it does not preclude or change the draft plans. If their evaluations have it be one thing, that's fine. But as long as it doesn't change the draft plans, I'm all aboard with it. All right, final thoughts. We'll dip in the mailbag when we return.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, time for our final thoughts here on this Wednesday. Matt Wilhelm not enjoying NFL Network's presentation of the Chargers and Patriots.
No,
right now.
This is 2 days in a row. It's been an extreme high to an extreme low because at this point yesterday, I was watching the Super Bowl 45 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers as a member of the Green Bay Packers. And today, the lowest professional disappointment I've had in my 8 years, which was going 14-2, being the number one seed, having a first round bye, hosting our playoff game in Qualcomm Stadium, and just making mistake after mistake after mistake and letting the Patriots back into the football game, and they're here about to win it.
Yeah, it's amazing watching the game unfold, how many times you guys have gave them extra opportunities.
You had the interception, Wilhelm. You guys had the pick.
Hold the ball.
Fumble the punt. Well, okay. We fumble a punt. Okay. We have the Patriots 3-and-out. They punt it to us. We fumble it. They recover it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then they go 3-and-out. We hold them on third down. And on that third down play that we held them, Drayton Florence, a starting corner or nickelback at the time for us, headbutts Benjamin Watson in the face. 15-yard penalty. They get, obviously, automatic first down. They go down the field and get the field goal. And then we get the pick, as you just mentioned, and you give Tom Brady a second chance with the ball on the 30-yard line, and they go score to tie the football game up. We go 3-and-out. They get the ball back. And just like I told Nathan, with 2 minutes and 4 seconds, up 21 to 7 or whatever it was at halftime, they go get a touchdown.
It was 14-3.
14-3. They get a touchdown right before half, 14-10. Momentum is lost. They come out, get the ball in the first half. They don't do much with it. But the great quarterbacks in football flourish with that 2 or 4 minute offense right before the halftime when they get points on the board.
Points on the board. Wilhelm, you can't let them do it.
You at least had powder blue uniforms, dude. You had that going for you, which was nice.
Yeah. So. We did. They were sweet.
They were nice.
They were nice.
Very nice. All right. Do we still have Sean in Sioux Falls?
Yeah. Yeah, he's there.
All right. Sean, welcome.
Hi. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, just one last comment here about the quarterback situation. And I don't know if this is something that we've thought about doing, but I was trading Josh McCown. And I think this is maybe why we're looking at, RG3 or just somebody else to replace him. But then maybe getting like a trade value. And there may have been rumors that the Jets may have wanted McCown. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, or maybe you can just talk about that a little bit.
I saw something recently on RotoWorld that the Jets may be interested in Josh McCown.
Yep.
But that would have to come via trade, right? Otherwise, wait us out and potentially cut Josh McCown, which they don't want to do that.
Yes, indeed. I think that you would, if you signed RG3, you would go ahead and trade Josh McCown, or you'd put him out there and see if you could find somebody. I think Denver could be interested. The Jets could be interested.
For what? Fifth?
Anything.
Anything. Sixth?
Anything.
Another swing at the plate?
Yeah, they're taking your salary off of your hands.
All right,
Dino, anything good in the mailbag here, my friend?
Yeah, and you even alluded to it earlier. From our guy Pumpkinhead at Pumpkin Nation, and tweet the show as always at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. Pumpkinhead says, don't you guys think we should draft BPA as in best player available, regardless of whether or not we pick up Robert Griffin III or not?
I would only advocate for signing RG3 if it had zero impact on what we plan to do in the draft. In other words, if all along we were taking a quarterback at number 2, we'd take that quarterback there. If we didn't think there was a quarterback worthy, we were going a different direction, go that different direction. RG3 signing should have zero impact or bearing on what the Cleveland Browns do on April 28th in the draft.
Now, and to continue to expound on that, I'll ask you another question, Nathan. If we do, in fact, go sign RG3 and go quarterback at number 2, regardless of who it is, Goff or Wentz, right? Could you see us with things shaking out the way they would in our favor? Meaning there are multiple players that are very likable targets for Sashi, Andrew Barry, and Hugh Jackson that we go best player available at 32, not necessarily playmaker at wide receiver or pass rusher specifically to kind of add to our repertoire.
Yeah, it should be the best, but you're trying to get foundation pieces. So wherever you can get them, get them.
Okay.
That's what I think there. I think that's what this team's got to do. All right, Dino, probably got time for one more here.
Yeah, from James Garland. He wants to know, hey, guys, listen, look at Hugh Jackson's credentials. Really, what young quarterback has he actually mentored?
Well, I think that what he did with Andy Dalton who was certainly a young quarterback, was very impressive. And what he did with A.J. McCarron last year was very impressive.
And to be able to have his hands on Joe Flacco very early in his career as well.
Yeah, he was a quarterback coach there, and Joe Flacco said that Hugh Jackson was instrumental in his progress with the Baltimore Ravens. So those would be the big three. Carson Palmer was not a rookie there. He did get the best out of Jason Campbell in Oakland, but Jason Campbell had obviously been with Washington before that, so I wouldn't say it was necessarily a young quarterback. All right, we'll be back tomorrow here. That's right, Thursday, 1 to 3, as always, for some more CBD. Hopefully we'll have some more updates for you on if the Browns are going to go in this direction. Also, want to say a big congratulations to Executive Vice President of Football Operations Sashi Brown, his lovely wife Paige, on the birth of their daughter Zora Brown. So welcome to the Dog Pound, Zora, and congrats to Sashi and Paige.
Will the kid be in Friday?
No. The kid is like...
No!
He's going to Florida on vacation. The kid is... his dedication waning here in the offseason.
Yeesh.
Oh, boy. I know. We need to know what the kid would say. I think RG3 would be great. We need a kid hot take on RG3.
We do.
Maybe I'll get him to call in. All right, stay tuned for the Golden Boys for Dino and Matt Wilhelm. Thanks to Andrew Gribble. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.